Max, good to have you back for a little bit. You're the only one brave enough to lead that song. We really miss you, buddy, and it's been good to have you here, and we're going to miss you when you take off on Wednesday. We pray that the Lord will be with you. Whether it's mentioned or not, we recognize the impact of you not being here with us, and we know that you have your family's best interest at heart. But as your spiritual family, selfishly, we really miss you. And we look forward to November when you can be back with us, hopefully for a little while longer. It's good to see everyone else we have with us this morning. And we pray that you brought your Bible to study along the Scriptures with us together. If you were given just 1 hour to live, how would you choose to spend that hour? How would you choose to spend that time? I can almost guarantee you wouldn't waste that time. You would think very seriously about how you would spend that last hour. And I would like to think that if this was your last hour, that you'd probably be pretty content and thankful that it would be here at services on the Lord's Day, praising the God whom you're about to stand before. You know, Grover Stevens is a well-known preacher of the past, and some of you know him personally when he lived. But it was said that he died in his study with his Bible open. And I think if one was to ask Grover later on in the after while if he regretted going in such a way, I think he would answer in the negative. He would have been very content and very thankful to have gone in such a way. You see, we realize that worshiping God and studying God's Word is never a waste of time. It never is. And when we look back in time, we'll never say, I wish I spent my time in a different way. So the question is, why don't we do those things more? Because the truth is, a lot of us are guilty of wasting our time, frittering it away on vain pursuits. Because when push comes to shove, we realize that spiritual things really matter the most. They're the only things that we'll take with us into eternity. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul had some words to say about the concept of wasting time. In Ephesians 5, there, verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. The word redeem literally means to buy back, to buy back again. Now, you and I both understand when time is spent, it's gone for good. It's physically and literally impossible to buy back time, right? You can't just pop down a $100 bill on the table and say, I'd like to have 100 hours back. It doesn't work that way. What Paul is saying in his the wording and language that would be understood in that day was essentially, don't waste your time. Don't do that. Don't waste your time. But rather, spend it wisely, because the days are evil. And so we're going to talk about this concept of wasting our time this morning. First off, the brevity of man's life emphasizes the importance of time, right? The shortness of man's life. Now, to God, time really is not important. It's not a factor, because He doesn't die. He has always been eternal. He is the great I Am, the always existent One. There in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says that 1,000 years is like 1 day unto God. It just has no weight or bearing upon God. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and look with me at verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. The psalmist here says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You've always been. Time's not a factor to God. But, of course, to man, time is extremely important. We only have a limited amount of it. In this same psalm, look at verse 10 now. It says, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And this time-lapse picture shows an example of something like that. It's here one moment and gone the next. And so with this understanding in mind, we need to have these passages fresh in our mind. Verse 12 is again another way in the Hebrew vernacular to say, don't waste your time. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Don't waste your time. Realize that they're short. There's so much good that can be done with time. Thomas Edison, you know, he's an important man, right, in history. And we often like to hear what important men had to say about important things. Well, here's what he said. He said that time is the most important thing in the world. There's so much benefits to be gathered from time if one uses it wisely. Think about some of the benefits. You know, is it not one of the best remedies for our greatest heartaches? You can think about that with Genesis 41 and 51. We talked about Joseph this morning and the names of his son, Ephraim and Manasseh. And both of those names indicate Joseph allowing the pain of the past to pass away and moving on to the future. He's now been blessed with children and a wife. God has taken care of him. But time had to take place before he healed, you see. I remember some of my past breakups with girls in the past, and you'd be heartbroken, your heart would be heavy. And I remember Mom, she always had the right words to say. She'd say, just give it time. Well, why? Because time has that way of healing all wounds. And I'm so thankful that that was true, because if I wanted to press on with my own desires, my own selfish wills, I wouldn't have met my lovely wife and know my lovely children that I have today. God always knows what's best, doesn't He? Time can also make a teacher from a babe in Christ. Now, I've been fortunate in my time here to see that happen with a few. I think about Becca over there, and when she was baptized at age 8. And now here she is, matured and in the knowledge of God and able to share that with children in children's classes. I think about Toby and how we first knew him when he was just a youth. And here he is now part-time preaching and teaching. Now, how did all that happen? Well, of course, they had some dedication and will, but time had to take place. Time had to take place to make a babe in Christ a teacher of God's Word. Further, time can mend broken friendships. Have you ever seen that before? Maybe that's actually happened in your life. That a schism became so sharp that there was no words that could be used to mend that and to heal that. But over the course of time, it has that power to dissipate such anger and hurt feelings and heartache, that now they're able to see that other person in a different light that they hadn't seen them in a long time. Think about that with the Apostle Paul and how he didn't want John to go along with them in the journey. And Silas was insistent. Well, there was a contention that became very sharp. However, years later in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul says, hey, bring John along because he's useful to me for the ministry. You can even think about the story of Jacob and Esau, right? And how years of them separated, and you wonder what is going to take place when they come together again, and Esau runs to Jacob and hugs him and kisses him, and they share tears together. Why? Because time had passed, and old wounds had closed. Oh, there's great benefits in time. Time is also an effective detective to uncover error, to better see the wolf underneath the sheep clothing. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13 says that evil men and imposters wax worse and worse. That is, they grow worse and worse. And so if you're not certain about a certain individual and you're wondering if they really are teaching error, teaching falsely, just give it some time. Watch where it goes. Because the Bible says that that always leads in the wrong direction, a sinful one, you'll be able to look at their fruits, Matthew 7, verse 20, and to know. So many valuable things of life can be lost and be regained because of time. Character may crumble and be built up again. Health may be lost and later regained. Friends may be lost and that friendship later renewed. Silver and gold may fly away, but later be regained due to time again. Right? We've seen that in the market over and over again, don't we? But time cannot be recalled. Once it's gone forever. And so, don't waste your time. Why would we ever want to waste our time? Did you know God condemns idleness and laziness? He has always condemned it. It's something that He despises. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. God knows He gave us a time limit. Each and every one of us have a time limit where we will go to and go no more. And so, realizing that He has built that into man, He expects us, and He would think we ought to want to use that time wisely and to use it rightly. And so when He finds laziness, He condemns it. And in Matthew 25, of course, there, verse 24, He says, "Then he who received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and you lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest.'" You should have done something with it. Even the most safe thing. And that is just put it into a low interest bearing account. Just so that it would maintain its value and somewhat grow a bit. Just to show some effort. And you just didn't. You didn't. And he said, "You were wicked. You were lazy." Brother and I used to have a friend that would come over, and I don't believe he went on to college, if I remember correctly. We went on to college and higher studies, and of course we were busy studying the scriptures to do part-time preaching, but this individual, this friend would come over, and because we were so invested in our studies and he didn't have those extra studies, he would just sit there on the couch and he would literally say, "What to do, what to do." Well, we're right there in the middle of some kind of study and, "Hey, where's the TV remote?" And he'd just sit there and veg out in front of the TV. And the very sad thing is that later on, this friend nearly dies from a drug overdose. You know the old saying that the devil finds work for idle hands? It's true. What to do sent him over to the danger zone. And nearly claimed his life. The Bible tells us that hunger and poverty is one of the penalties of wasting time. Let's look at some of these verses here. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Some individuals believe that if they are not very well off, that they're always hungry, no food's in the refrigerator, well, it's because of somebody else's fault besides their own. And let me say that there may be a minority of cases where that's the case. However, rarely do they blame themselves that they are in this kind of predicament because of laziness. They're looking for a handout instead. Now, the proverb writer says in Proverbs 19, verse 15, he says, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." You know, God said you can take that to the bank. An idle person is going to have a harder time off financially. They're going to suffer hunger, he says. Notice in chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 4. It says, "The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Made rich. The diligent effort The sweat of the brow, the extending oneself in whatever effort is to take care of their own. He says God will bless that individual. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's turn to this passage here. This was something that God wanted to express to the brethren there at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there he says in verse 9, he says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." So here's where you need to grow, is where you're saying. Verse 11, "That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." You see, it's not an option to the Christian if they want to work or not. Paul says it's a command. Verse 12, "That you may walk properly towards those that are outside, and that you may lack nothing." So that, number one, you can take care of the family, and number two, so that no one can look down upon you saying that person's just, you know, a leech upon the land. That certainly wouldn't betray, or portray, I should say, the mindset of Paul, where he would later on say that that's how we lived among you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there in verse 7, he says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread freed of charge, but worked and labored and toiled night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we don't have the authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." God says that needs to be a penalty for an individual that is idle. You know, I watching 2020 the other day, it was mind-boggling the ways that people try and get around work today. And they were interviewing individuals that spend all day entering sweepstakes. One guy has spent $4,000 a year in stamps to enter these sweepstakes. And you know, they get a TV here, and they get, you know, some shampoo over here, and some lawn gnome over here, and you know, all these useless kinds of things. And I guess they get some money every now and then. But it's all to try and circumvent hard, honest labor and work. God condemns that. It shouldn't be that way. And especially in this land of opportunity, in comparison to the rest of the world, we are so blessed to have these opportunities. You may not have the job that you'd like, but at least it's a job. Hunger and poverty is one of the penalties of wasting time. But it also leads to other evils as well. That idleness and laziness will do that. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, there verse 13, Paul was very concerned about those younger women that had lost their husbands. They had died for one reason or another. And he was worried about what they would do using their time. And so he says in verse 13, "Besides this, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." He says they have able bodies and able minds, and if they're not put to use, then the devil will take advantage of them. It leads to other evils. Think about that with David. In a time where other kings were at war, for one reason or another, he was at home. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But it also creates mental evils as well, I believe. You see individuals that are often overtaken by a depressed life. And a lot of times because they spend most of their time behind the television or just not doing anything. There's this purposelessness to them, this aimlessness to them. And so it creates an evil, depressed type mind, a warped view upon the world. God condemns idleness and laziness. So let's talk for a moment now how it is that time is often wasted. Perhaps the first one that comes to your mind, as it did mine, is excessive entertainment. I mean, I thought, you know, I'm going to pull up some of the statistics and write how much hours we spend TV and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, everybody knows that. We all know that the average TV time in an American household is mind-boggling. It blows the mind. But it's not just TV watching that we're given to today in this country. There's individuals that will read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fictional books and never take the time to read the 66 books that really count. And there's other individuals that spend all their time with a game console in their hand, and yes, they're getting the hand-eye coordination really good, you know, and you know, building up the thumb muscles and all of that. But hours and hours is invested into that. And then you've got individuals that are on the internet all the time. You know, and there's blessings, as we say, to such technology, and there's also curses as well. And this wasting time can be one of those curses. That, you know, you probably know as well as I do individuals that spend, you know, 4, 5 hours maybe on Facebook all the time, or at least doing posts all the time. You know, I'm going to bed now, getting up now, eating now, going to work now, and all the things that we really don't care about and need to know about, and yet they're posting these things all the time. And some of you older folks probably wondering, what in the world is Stephen talking about here? And let me tell you, you're blessed. You're blessed to not really know. I don't think our world has become a better place because of Facebook in general. It has eaten up a lot of time. Oh, let me tell you, the worst posts are those ones that say, you know, so-and-so just scored 1,000 points in this game, you know, on Facebook. And you're just thinking, ah, I don't need to read those kinds of things. Now let me say something. Let me listen carefully. Recreation in and of itself is not a waste of time. In general, it's not. Because everybody needs a break. There was even times where Jesus and the disciples would go off from the crowd for a little while. We all need that reprieve. We need that rest. We need that break. So the question is, how do we know when it becomes excessive and when we don't? And there may be a few ways to test that. Ask yourself the question, how many hours am I spending this in relation to my actual job, my actual work? You know, a lot of times we think, oh, I work so much, and then you go home and you play so much, and it's all the same, and we don't look at it in the same kind of light. Compare it to how much time you spent in spiritual work. Now, that might be a scary comparison. Entertainment to spiritual work and spiritual duties. We might be safe to say that sometimes it might be 1 hour for 1 hour, but let's be honest, is it really? Is it really? Have the balances tipped in the wrong direction? And so yes, recreation can be good. It has its place. It's not a waste of time when it's a break, when it's a reprieve. But further, pondering past disappointments, it can also be a great waste of time. You know, certainly there's time for reflection. And that's needed as well. You know, the old saying goes, if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And so, yes, we need to take time to think about areas where we have not done what we ought to have done and could do better. But then there's also the time to move on. When you realize no matter all the hours you spend thinking about it, it will never change what took place from the past. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. You know, if one had reason to dwell in the disappointments of the past, I'd say it'd be the Apostle Paul. Right? I mean, he committed Christians to death. I don't know about you, but I've never done that. Paul did. Multiple Christians. Christians he tortured. Or had tortured. But Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, Paul could have sat there and spent hours and hours wondering about how things may have been different in his life had he just known Christ earlier in his years. But that wasn't what took place. And he says, eventually you got to forget what's behind, move forward to what is ahead. You meditate too long on the past, it will impact your present. You know, there's actually this woman who is documented. She has this disorder where her brain forever etches in her past. She cannot forget it. She's the woman who cannot forget. And some say, well, that's got to be such a blessing. You remember everything. And she says, no. Rather, it's a curse. Because you remember exactly how it feels every time you cried, every time some bad news came your way, every heartache, every disappointment. You never can let it go and forget. Yes, some lie in the past and therefore destroy their present and their future. Friends, you can't drive well looking in the rearview mirror. You got to move on. Don't waste your time. Further, another big waste of time is worrying. And I'll tell you what, I'm ashamed at how many hours of my life I have wasted in worry. Hours and hours. Worry that grips the heart. And you try not to think about it, but in so doing, you're thinking about it. And it never dissipates or goes away. And no doubt it's one of the devil's favorite tools to promote idleness. You get to that zone where you're eventually analyzing all the time. Analysis paralysis, right? You're just frozen because of your fears, because of your worries. And you begin to map out in your mind 50, 60, 70, 100 different scenarios of what's going to take place and what's going to happen. And then, of course, none of them take place. None of them happen. And you wasted your time. I wasted my time because of worry. We have to ask ourselves the question, do we believe the Scriptures? Because Romans chapter 8, verse 28, gives comfort to the saint that has been downcast, that has been discouraged, the saint that has suffered persecution. God says in Romans 8, verse 28, He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." No, I may not be able to have all the answers to everything and know exactly which direction my life's going to go in this multiple pathway that it seems like it could go. But here's one thing I do know. It'll be all right. God's will be done. And that's all right with me. It needs to be. Another way we waste time is often by lacking organization. And I'm preaching to myself here as well. You know, the desk sometimes is so covered and you just spend hours and hours looking for something. And I know it's around here and those are hours you'll never get back. And maybe you find it, maybe you don't. But you've wasted time because we're not organized in life. And again, another thing I saw the other day was this hoarders. They were interviewing some of them and just the piles and piles, 3-4 feet high, all throughout the house of things they have. They'll never be able to find anything that's there in the bottom, never. And they're so emotionally distraught and their children are scarred for their lives. I mean, it's sad. But lack of organization can be a great big waste of time. Further, staying in bed longer than needed. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 13, it says, "Do not love sleep." Don't love it. Don't fall in love with that. You waste your time. Now, do we need sleep? Absolutely. Is it a waste of time to sleep? No, it's not. God created our bodies for it. But He says, don't love it. You fall in love with it. It begins to become your comfort zone. It begins to become the place you want to be and waste away life's precious moments. And so there's some ways that we may waste time. And I'm going to suggest we don't waste any more time thinking about wasting time. Let's move on to the next point. Let's talk about how it is that we might use our time wisely and rightly. I love what Benjamin Franklin said a long time ago. He said, "Dost thou love life? then don't squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of. I love the way he phrased that. He didn't say, do you love time? He said, do you love life? And that's the right way to phrase that. Do you love life? You see, with our technology, our science, we've been able to discover how to add years to our life. But the truth is, we need to really find out how to add life to our years. That's what's really important. Do you love life? You know, one may live 80 years and never truly really live, because they didn't know the truth, they didn't know God, they wasted their time on other physical and vain pursuits. And yet one may live 40 years, half their life, and know all those things, and truly have a fulfilled 40 years of life. There's a vast difference between existing and using one's time and life well. There's a big difference, isn't there? Think about this comparison for just a moment. Methuselah, he was nearly 1,000 years old. Nearly 1,000 years old. What does the Bible say about him? Not too much. In fact, it gives us clues that his years terminated at the year of the flood. Put two and two together, it seems to me most likely he died in the flood. And you know what the Bible says about it? It says Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. On the other hand, Jesus lived 33 years. My point is clear, isn't it? He lived 3% of the life that Methuselah lived, and yet it was the most fulfilled life this world has ever known. Because he understood it's not the years that you live, but it's the life that you live in those years. How you use that life is what's truly, truly important. Now turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Notice what Jesus said in verse 10. What kind of life did he come to bring to you and to me? Here he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that we would do this very axiom right here. That we would have an abundant life. Yes, all die, but not all truly live. It all depends on what you did with the time that was given to you. And he wants us to have a life full of life. So with that in mind, how can we do that? You know, we realize that there are physical duties such as work, there's parental duties that are so important, and they're also biblical as well. That's part of our spiritual living. And then there's also spiritual work that we are to be busy in the kingdom of our Lord. Be busy in His vineyard. Working. But too often we make excuses for not using our time in spiritual living, or what we might call abundant life. Abundant living. And so I'd like to end that way by confronting some of those excuses that we may make from time to time. You know, one might say, well, I'm just too busy. I'm not idle, Stephen. My problem is not being idle. I use my time. My schedule is very full. Well, friend, while your schedule may be full, your life may be empty. If it's not full of the life that Jesus Christ came to bring you and I, maybe we have forgotten to put the Lord first. Your problem is not wasting time. Your problem is time management. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it first. And all the things that you seek and all the things you look for, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 27, he says, don't labor for the food that perishes, but labor for the food that endures to everlasting life. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, if you're too busy for the Lord's work, then friend, you're just too busy. You're just too busy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, a king one who was busy with the affairs of the kingdom, spent his ending years writing this book about life and the pursuits of life. And he found it to be foolish and vain and empty when it was a life without God and following His commands. And so he says this at the end of his writing, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That's man's all. Amen to that. If we're too busy, then it's saying we're too busy to use our life the way that God had designed it to be used for. Some say, well, I'm just too young. Well, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Oh, you can be used in your youth. We can think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Joseph, and Timothy, and others that were used in their youth by God. The work that we could do in our youth can be very beneficial. It can be pertinent and powerful and permanent, regardless of age. We can be used. We shouldn't forget that. Some say, well, the other end of the spectrum, I'm just too old then to be used for the Lord in any capacity. Again, we could cite Daniel, couldn't we? Because we have the Daniel of the teenage years in Daniel chapter 1, and then we have Daniel of the elderly years in Daniel chapter 6 in the lion's den. And he was used by God in both stages of his life. We can think about Solomon here, as we mentioned here at the end of his life, writing this great book to remind us what life really is all about. We can think about Moses, as we talked about in Bible class. 120 years divided up in 40-year segments. And you know which 40-year segment he was used to the fullest? The last 40 years. The last. And I think about one of my personal favorites, Caleb. I love the story of Caleb. There he is, so determined in his elderly years to enter the promised land as God had said he would enter. And he didn't want to just sit down and let the younger people go and attack the inhabitants of the land. He says, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight like I was one of the young guys when I was back in the older days. I'm ready to fight and to go to war for the land that is rightfully ours, given by God. Yes, many great things are done towards the end of one's life. Many a composer wrote their best work. Many a painter painted their best painting. Many a writer wrote their best book. And the research is out, friends. The research is out that the more active one is in their later years, the longer they tend to live. It may be God's way of keeping one around that could be useful and beneficial to the kingdom. I realize age and weakness of body may necessitate retirement from the commercial realm. But there is no such thing as retirement from the spiritual realm. That comes when you and I look like this. That's when we retire. Further, and last for this morning, someone might say, well, I lack the talent. Friends, again, God used Moses, who was supposedly slow of speech and of tongue, to lead the great Israelite nation. We can think about how Jehovah used a stone, a sling, and a shepherd boy to remove an unstoppable giant. And we can think about how Christ used a boy's lunch to feed thousands and thousands. And how He used a poor widow with two mites to teach a great lesson in sacrifice and giving. See, God can make the smallest things work for good in other people's lives. Therefore, He can use our lives as well. No matter how insignificant they seem to us, they can still be used. This past week, I noticed there was this individual that they were interviewing, and he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with no legs, only his arms. No, it's not so much about talent and ability. It's about willpower and determination. There's work that we all can do as the song goes. There's work that we all can do. And so let us not waste time. It is more valuable than precious oil in bank accounts. And when we use it wisely and we use it rightly, then we can die well, a life full of life. Well, as we bring this to a close, let me ask you the $86,000 question. If I was to give you $86,400 every day and told you you can use that however you wanted to use it, but whatever you don't use, you end up losing, and it's gone for good, would you use all that money? Even if it was to give away to a good cause, would you use all of that? Absolutely would, every penny. Well, the illustration is thus. You and I are given 86,400 seconds every day. And at the end of the day, it's gone forever. Let us use it. Let us use it wisely. Let us use it rightly. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Let me tell you, it is not a waste of your time for you to come to the front this morning and to be baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you're entering the abundant life that the Lord said He would give you, a life full of joy and of happiness that points us to heaven above. That's why it's a life of joy and happiness, because we have a great reward ahead. If you're a Christian, you have fallen away, then you need to get back on that right track. And again, use your time wisely and rightly for the Lord and His cause. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?
Heavenly soul, where will you linger, wandering from the throne of God? Here is not the invitation.